On Active Voice Radio today, we're joined by Massachusetts Congressman Barney Frank to talk about medical marijuana, marijuana, and hemp farming today. Congressman, welcome here to Active Voice Radio again.
Thank you.
Wonderful to speak with you today. Last year in 2008, you co-sponsored legislation H.R. 5842 and 5843. Let's start with the Medical Marijuana Patient Protection Act. Attorney General Eric Holder announced that the federal government would no longer be in the business of prosecuting state-authorized medical marijuana patients. That seems like a discretionary policy. Are you going to be reintroducing the Medical Marijuana Patient Protection Act this year?
Yes, I am glad that Mr. Holder had done that. It's a return, actually, to the policies of Jan Arino, but we still need a law because, to put it bluntly, we can't always be sure that there'll be a Democratic president. And I know it's fashionable to say, oh, let's not talk partisanship, but the record is very clear here. Under President Clinton, Attorney General Arino did not go after people in the medical marijuana area. The Bush administration came in, and John Ashcroft immediately began prosecuting, and I would say persecuting people. Now a Democrat comes back in, and they've stopped it. So it is true that as long as you have a president like President Obama, who's going to have an attorney general who's reasonable, we don't have the problem. But we can't be sure of that, and therefore the law is still required, in my judgment.
Righto. And many states are considering medical marijuana as we move forward here. The provisions within H.R. 5842, how would that protect patients?
Well, what the bill says, I know there are two, and I assume you're talking about the medical marijuana one. I don't remember which number was which. Basically, it says that if a state says it's okay, it's okay. You know, my conservative friends like to talk about states' rights, but they mean the right of a state to agree with them. When a state says something they disagree with, whether it's marijuana or assisted suicide in Oregon or elsewhere, or allow same-sex marriage in Massachusetts, they support efforts to cancel it. Essentially, my view is that the state should decide what it wants to do. And the federal government should defer to the state.
So this becomes more of an issue of states' rights and perhaps privacy as well, especially when it comes to the medical marijuana argument.
Oh, no question. And by the way, it also makes a mockery of the conservatives' argument that we should let the people decide. Because, as you know, most of the medical marijuana policies that are in the states were adopted by referenda. The people voted for them. A couple of cases where the legislature did, but particularly years ago, politicians, I think, were sort of suffering from cultural lag here, and the public was ahead of the politicians. So what we have are Republicans saying the federal government should override referenda votes by the people of the various states on this issue. Nothing could be more hypocritical and inconsistent.
Now, speaking about referenda, in your home state, Massachusetts, November, they passed a referendum to decriminalize minor marijuana possession across the state of Massachusetts. The other piece of legislation you co-sponsored last year was an act to remove the federal penalties for the personal use of marijuana by responsible
adults.
Right,
I actually feel vindicated there. I had filed that first at the federal level, and then I was very pleased that the people of the state I come from voted in effect that they think the policy I have is what ought to be the policy. So, people face both federal and state penalties. I believe that we should be, first of all, allowing medical marijuana where it's permitted, but even to go beyond that, leave it up to the states. If states decide that they're going to heavily prosecute people who smoke marijuana, I disagree with that, but I'm not telling Montana what to do or South Carolina. On the other hand, when the state of Massachusetts, by referendum, votes this way, and here's the point, my conservative friends would have the federal government disregard a referendum of the people of Massachusetts, which makes a mockery of their argument about respecting the popular will and about states' rights.
And Congressman, you've been out in front on the issue of these marijuana bills. Has there been a bit of a shift amongst your congressional colleagues on this issue, especially in the last couple months?
It's starting to be. And by the way, one of the things that's happening now is there is this recognition that an effort to prohibit absolutely something that's widely desired and seen by many people as not harmful if done moderately, it corrodes law enforcement. You have problems. Look, we have articles now about prisons having to be shut, cut back, people having to reduce prison populations. There are court delays. To have our law enforcement and judicial and police resources tied up by prosecuting people for smoking marijuana at the expense of some more serious crimes is a great mistake.
Now, President Obama has been at the forefront of the medical marijuana issue, but we saw last week during the town hall, he opened for questions, that that he said an absolute no to legalization couched in terms of an economic stimulus package. What can we read into that there?
Well, I think it's a mistake to say it was to be an economic stimulus. Sure, it would have some economic effect, but let's be honest, that's not why people are urging it. People are urging it without regard to the economic situation. What you can read into it is the president's perception that the public is opposed to this and that people who allow it to be decriminalized are advocating its use. That's the fundamental flaw in reasoning. There are people who would divide the world of human activity into two categories. One, activity that the federal government or any government makes illegal. Two, activity that the government encourages. I don't encourage people to smoke marijuana. Certainly we should not be allowing younger people to do it, and I think even for people beyond that, there are deleterious effects to any of these substances, and there can be impairments if you were driving, so people ought to be very careful. But the notion, and I feel the same way about gambling, the notion that if the government doesn't make something a crime, it's encouraging it, is a very kind of authoritarian notion. There ought to be a wide range of human activity that's none of the government's business, that the government neither prohibits nor encourages. And I would put marijuana in that category.
Now, Gil Kerlikowske, the current police chief of Seattle, has been nominated to the White House directorship of the White House ONDCP. Could that signal a bit more of a sea change from the ONDCP on marijuana policy?
Absolutely, because there was a question of enforcement within the legal framework. And I believe we're talking about someone who understands that prosecution of casual users is a great waste of resources. And by the way, they sometimes tell us, oh, but that never happens. We don't use the law for that. But there was a recent case in New York where a man was seen to be smoking what looked like a marijuana cigarette. Police pursued him, ultimately assaulted him in a vicious way with a police baton. And it was all because he ran away when he was smoking marijuana. If they weren't prosecuting someone for simply smoking it, none of that would have happened. So, I do think the appointment of the Chief Kerlikowske to be head of the Drug Control Policy Office is a good thing. I thought Hillary Clinton also made a good statement when she said, look, don't blame Mexico entirely for a problem that's caused by our use of drugs. We ought to be looking at how you can reduce, and now we go obviously far beyond marijuana, how can you reduce the use of drugs? What kind of treatment programs can you have? That ought to be the focus.
Now, are you hearing more from your constituents with the referendum that passed in Massachusetts, or are you hearing more from Massachusetts voters about these issues?
To be honest, not a lot, because the economic crisis is so overwhelming and has such an impact on people. And because I'm chairman of a committee that deals with the economic situation, and that takes almost all of my time, that's essentially what they talk to me about. Occasionally, there's some other local issues, fishing in the city of New Bedford or transportation elsewhere. So I can't tell you that there's been any increase in discussion there.
Certainly the economic crisis forefront in all of our minds today. Are you seeing marijuana in general as more of a civil rights and social justice issue? You talked about that case in New York. It really does sound very
akin
to it.
Well, part of it is, yes, drug user laws are enforced discriminatorily against racial minorities. But I see it as a personal freedom view. I really believe very strongly. And as I said, it's true about gambling. It's true about sex-oriented entertainment. We need to establish, if we're going to have a free society, that there are things that the government outlaws because they cause harm by one person to another, and then there are things that the government encourages because we want to be healthier and have a better society, and that there are a whole wide range of human activities that are none of the government's business, and then we either outlaw them or encourage them.
And with more and more states looking to move forward with medical marijuana laws, New Hampshire's about halfway through, New Jersey is halfway through the legislative process on bills like this. Do you think that these statements from Attorney General Holder on this and the sort of prevailing attitude on this will take away that argument from states that...
Well, it will be helpful because one argument would be, what's the point of doing it? The feds are going to come in anyway. And I think the Attorney General is returning to the sensible policy of Attorney General Reno will help diminish that.
Righto. And Congressman Frank, in summing up today, when we talk about this economic crisis and moving forward, among Americans, especially reform-minded Americans, a lot of nonprofit groups have seen a decline in donations as well. What do you think Americans can do the best out there to sort of help the economic crisis overall?
Well, actually, that is maybe the one way that making marijuana more available would help, because as more people got the munchies, it would increase food consumption, and you might pick up some of the expenditures at supermarkets and restaurants. What people can do is not be afraid. They shouldn't do anything either two or four, because they want to help the economy. They should be prudent. I think it is time for people to look at, for instance, housing. Look at the low mortgage rates. Nobody should just go out and spend just to be a patriot. But people should not be deterred from spending money that they have a good reason to spend because of the economy, because then that becomes a vicious cycle.
Well, Congressman Frank, I really appreciate you taking time today.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Radio. Thank you.